Good morning, everybody. My name's Andy, one of the pastors here. That's Pastor Craig, Pastor Cody, to my left. Maybe you're right. I'm not sure how that works in TV world. We're excited you guys are joining us yet again. If you don't mind giving us a like, that way we know you're here. And if you could share this on your page, hopefully this is an encouragement to other people as well. A couple of quick announcements before we kind of get into the rest of our morning here. Don't forget to check us out on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays at 11. I'll be bringing live prayer. Cody will be bringing scripture and how that's connecting exactly where we are today. And then, of course, Craig will be leading us in worship. We got some exciting things. We got a group, Philippians group, that we're going to be starting not tomorrow Monday, but the following Monday, April 6th. And there are two different times you can join that. We'll be doing Google Hangouts or Google Meet, depending on what your language is, but that'll be at 11 a.m. or 7 p.m. And then men, we'll be back to bacon and Bible. Sadly, you have to grill or cook your own bacon. But the second and fourth Saturdays, we'll be doing Google Hangouts as well there. And then starting tomorrow, we're going to be doing what we're calling God's Daily Promises, where we're going to just send out an email or do a video, a real quick video, a couple of minutes long, just to remind us all of what God's promises are, as we just sang. They are yes and amen. But I think this is a great time for us just to remember that God is still faithful. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and He is God of His word. So let's look at some of those promises as we move forward in the coming days and the coming weeks. And then lastly, but certainly not least, if you have a need at all, you can go to our website and you can scroll down just a little bit and put, I need help, or I'd like some help, and we'll do our best to fulfill those needs. And if you're out there and you're like, hey, I can help, there's also a link there as well. We want to do what we can, but we can't help you unless we know what those needs are. So hopefully you guys will let us know as those needs come up. I thought this morning we'd do a little different. You kind of been hearing about how things have changed week to week from all three of us. But I thought what we'd do this morning is just talk about, hey, what's been the high of the week and what's been the low of the week? And so I'll kind of go first. My low
was
of the week.
78, though, wasn't it?
What's that?
The high was about 78.
High was about 78. It was really nice yesterday. My low of the week was probably really Thursday morning, where I really just felt like the extrovert in me was dying. Like, I just needed to have interaction with people. I was just missing that. Certainly, I'm interacting with my family and those kind of things. And certainly, you know, the video chats that we do and those meetings, that's just not the same. And so I was just craving human interaction. I ended up walking like 5.5 miles on Thursday just to kind of get outdoors. And luckily, it was beautiful. So that was my low. My high of the week was then the next day, Friday. We've been using Friday afternoons and evenings as our game night as a family, and that's been really fun to kind of re-implement some of that stuff and get that interaction. And some of my kids are a little more competitive than others, so they get that from me. This week I didn't lose every game, so I won about half of those, so I felt pretty good about that. That's why it's the high. But so those are kind of my highs and lows of the week. What about you, Craig?
So you're batting 500. I like it.
I am, yeah. Way better than the week before where I didn't win anything. So
that's awesome. So I'm going to try and look at you guys. I'm not used to that. But my low of the week is kind of one that I rationally know is going to be okay. But just seeing my daughter, I was usually a year and a half, not being able to interact with people, but specifically her grandparents, because we do have the opportunity to see them from here, you know, here and there, but from a distance. And her inclination when she sees her grandparents is, all right, pick me up, love me, give me hugs. And to see the gravity, I mean, it kind of hits the heart as the gravity of the situation, as well as just how hard that must be for everyone who wants to embrace their loved ones and can't, whether they're high risk or they're just, you know, not part of your quarantine or whatever that looks like. But it's just so hard to see her, and I know she won't really remember this mostly. This will be something we tell her about. But just how hard that is for a grandparent to say, sorry, I love you, but I can't. And for her to go, I don't understand. On the high end of things, we've been out and about as much as we possibly could this week because it's been nice out, and we love to be outside, love to be in nature. It's a place that brings me peace and calm, and I hear God louder there than anywhere, it seems. But what's been great is that Elizabeth's right along with us. She loves it. She walked over a mile in a one set this week. It was pretty cool, up and down hills and mud. She loves every puddle she sees, and she picks up every stick and rock she sees. That's her, that's me and her. Hannah's content to walk on by. I'm like, oh, look, a shiny thing. even if it's not shiny, I'm after it. I'm not gonna lie. But it's so fun to watch her, and it was just so nice to be out and finding trails where there's not a lot of people, and we love that. So that was a super high. I loved every minute.
Cody, what about you?
The person inside of me wanted to be like, well, look at this. So I'll end on my high and kind of go to my low. The good news is that, you know, Maddie's pregnancy is doing well and her appointment went well, the heart. So she's rocking it. The baby's rocking it. However, I can no longer be at the appointments. Mm. And so in April, when we're supposed to find out the sex, Maddie's going by herself.
Wow.
And that's like, you know, I've always been at every appointment, even with Thomas, and now with this one, this child, I'm like, I won't be there. There's several appointments, I won't be there. And so that's just a new, like, oh. And, you know, Maddie's, who is pregnant, going to those things by herself, and right, just what that will feel like. And so that's a low of just, like, I won't be there to hear the heartbeat, or I won't be there to, you know, for the sex. Now, obviously, yes, we can do FaceTime, and there's, but again, like you said, like, there's one thing, like, you know, FaceTime, but to right, actually be there to hear the heartbeat and see, you know, everything's doing well is something else. And so that was a low of, like, oh, I can't be there to figure out whether we're having a boy or a girl. Okay, well, that's new.
Yeah.
Michelle Pennington was willing to do, like, a gender reveal party, and now that can't happen. So, of course, you know, Michelle, you could do it at your house.
Zoom gender reveal.
I know, you could enjoy the balloons and the confetti. I guess we don't have to clean it up. So that was kind of the low. The high obviously one of the highs is definitely that the baby's okay and everything's working out well. I say the high for us is that we are potty training at the same time. And
Thomas,
yes, yeah. I will refrain from the joke. This is pretty sweet. Hi, Thomas. By the way, he sees Daddy. He freaks
cute
out. And so, hi, Thomas.
Hi, Thomas. I'm better than Craig, by yeah, the way. Please.
you saw that one, didn't you? The hug. And so, so the high is that he's as much as he can, he's figuring it out. You know, you think like, oh, wow, you've never learned how to use the potty before. And so you're training. And so it's just, there's just a lot of moments where you just got to laugh. And so he has brought a lot of laughter, frustration, but a lot of laughter in potty training. And Maddie is doing well with all that. And I'm just like, okay, well, what's next? What do we do? What do we do? and so, Thomas, you're rocking it. So proud of you. Way to go, buddy.
I wish you guys had a camera in your house just so we could watch for entertainment value. Just like,
tune
into the Hensleys.
It's hilarious because you just look, you just like, go.
Yeah.
Do something. Come on. You can do it. And, of course, he just look at you like, Dada?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, okay. And so it's funny.
Great.
And
gosh, we'd love to hear your highs and lows. If you don't even mind commenting now what your high of the week was or what your low of the week was, that'd be great. Craig, why don't you pray us out?
Yeah. Jesus, just thank you for the highs. And we begrudgingly and sometimes painfully thank you for the lows. God, you're worthy of our gratitude and our thanks just for who you are. But then the experiences we get to have on this earth and then in our time are amazing. God, I pray that you would just bring to mind in everyone that's listening their highs, God, and allow them to be present enough to realize all the good that's in front of them. God, there is so much to plague our minds that is stressful and anxiety-ridden and hard and sad. But God, let us just take that stuff to you and then just rejoice with you as well in the highs. God, just bless our time this morning. Speak to us new and fresh through Andy this morning. And God, we just, again, we thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, last night as we were going to bed, my wife and I were talking. We're like, what day is this, like, in the quarantine? I've personally lost track myself, but it's been the better part of 3 weeks. And life has certainly shifted and changed as life as we knew it. And as I reflect back on these 3 weeks, I'm really taken back at how quickly things have changed. I mean, it's been a great reminder for me of what I've taken for granted and what's really important. But simple things like just driving down the street and saying, so what do you want to eat for lunch or dinner? That really seems like so long ago that we were even able to do that. And it's helped me to see what's truly essential, what's truly important in life. It's helped me change kind of my posture, my attitude towards certainly work, family, friends, life in general. And it's also made me very aware of my pride. And here's what I mean. I found myself thinking oftentimes that I'm right and other people are wrong. I don't know if you can relate to that at all. But I find myself judging others for some of their decisions or even some of their actions. Social media engagement is certainly at an all-time high. And that little message came up on my iPhone today to tell me how much screen time I'm averaging. And I won't even say it out loud because I'm disgusted to share it. But that social media engagement's at an all-time high. People just find themselves engaged in it. And they're plenty of people who certainly are not short of their opinions or their ideas or their thoughts. Everything from a conspiracy theory to people having ideas or, you know, they have the right way on how we should approach homeschooling now. There isn't any shortage of thoughts on how the government or the president should be approaching this whole epidemic. And then there are plenty of people who are throwing kind of the Bible around, talking about end times to the context that fear, to not fear is to just go out and believe that God's going to protect you no matter what. And that's certainly a false theology. God is our rock. He is our fortress. He is our deliverer, as Psalms 18 reminds us. But that doesn't mean to go test God. Actually, Jesus responded well in Luke 4:12, when he says to the enemy, thou shalt not test God. So if you want to read about what God has to say about testing, go read Malachi 3. But let's also not forget the comments the people are making, whether that's social media or conversations about people buying more than they think they should or they need. And then there's the people that are justifying or judging those, maybe even now that have the coronavirus, because, you know, we're now saying, well, if they wouldn't have done that, if they'd have self-quarantined, if they'd have kept the 6 feet distance. I mean, how many of us are acting like the armchair quarterback, have thought or even said how much better of a job we would do if we were in their shoes? If we were in charge, we'd know exactly what to do. And hindsight's always 20/20. And then the question behind all of that truly is, what's our attitude? What does this mean about our posture towards God? What does our reaction reflect? What does it mean as it relates to what we believe about Jesus, at least what we say we believe? Well, this morning we're going to look at a parable, which is a story that Jesus tells to really illuminate a point, and he speaks to this idea of our posture and our attitude. But before we jump in, let's pray this morning. God, thanks so much that, again, we can continue to interact with technology. It's been amazing, and certainly the extrovert in me appreciates it. And God, we long for the day that life kind of gets back to whatever new normal will be. But God, in this moment in time, would you come by the power of your Holy Spirit? Would you draw near to us? God, speak to us and challenge us on where our posture is, where our attitude is towards you this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, again, my name is Andy Rainey. I'm one of the pastors here. If this is your first time tuning in, thanks so much for tuning in and checking us out. If you wouldn't mind just saying first time watching in the comments, we'd love to know that as well. And again, give us a like so that we know you're here. And then if you don't mind sharing this on your social media pages, we hope this is an encouragement to you as well. Also, be sure to check out our Blue Ash Kids page, or you can just simply scroll down, maybe a post or two below this one, where you can see all the kids links so that they can continue to engage churches, kind of they knew it, on Sunday morning. So we got great information, great activities for them as well. We are in a series called Yes and Amen, where we've been looking at this idea, this power of our attitude. What if we approach God with that attitude of yes and amen? Yes, God, so be it. Your will be done. So if you've missed any of the weeks, you can scroll down, you can watch those videos, or you can head to our website and watch or listen to the podcast. This week, we're going to be heading to page 128 in our Luke journals, if you have those with you. If you don't have a Luke journal and you would want one, just write, I'd like a Luke journal in the comments section. We'll get one mailed to you. We'll follow up and get your mailing address, but we want to make sure you get one of these in your hands, or hopefully when we reconvene sooner than later, you can grab one on the back. They're absolutely free. So 128 in your Luke journals. Again, our challenge to you, if you've forgotten, is to read one chapter of Luke a day. So if you're not doing that, I challenge you to get back into that habit. So we're going to read this parable. I'm going to read the whole thing. This is Luke 18, verses 9 through 14. I'll read it all, and then we'll go back and break it down. Page 128, and this is what it says. He, meaning Jesus told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed this, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven. He beat his chest, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Jesus is talking about two different kinds of people, the humble and the self-righteous. One worries about what other people are doing, the other worries about what they are doing. The people warned in this parable are the self-righteous. They have this false state of self-confidence. They're convinced that they, on their own merits, on their own good behavior, on their own good deeds, are acceptable to God, just based merely on how they live their life. Now, they may not even say that out loud, but their actions speak it. Now, let's go back and kind of break it down. Luke 18, verse 9, it says, He, Jesus, told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Contempt means the feeling that a person or a thing is beneath consideration, that they're worthless. They actually deserve scorn. So let me read all of that in that kind of context. Jesus told a parable to some who trusted in themselves, who didn't think they needed help. Those who were righteous, those who thought they were morally superior, and they treated others with contempt. In other words, they believed that they deserved scorn, that they were worthless, that they were beneath them. Worthless means you're worth less than me. Lucas, he set the stage. Jesus has set the stage here. Luke 18, verse 10 says, two men went into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. Jesus has painted the picture in the eye of the listener. Everybody would have pictured exactly what this looked like. We have two characters, a Pharisee and a tax collector. The Pharisee is the most respected person, the most respected class in society. The perception would be of that this Pharisee would have a more direct line to heaven. He'd have God's ear. They would expect the Pharisee to be praying at the temple. This idea has actually seemed to linger into our culture even today. There are people that believe since I'm a pastor, I have God's ear, that I'm closer to God because of my title. And that's really a false theology. I'm no closer to God than anybody that says yes to Jesus. If you're a follower of Jesus, we have the exact same spirit in us, God's Holy Spirit. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you and lives in me. So we have the Pharisee, respected. Everybody would expect him to be in the temple praying. And then we have this tax collector. They wouldn't have expected the tax collector to even be at the temple, certainly not praying. They belong to the most hated profession of society. So trying to put that in context, there, imagine, you know, it's a Steeler fan. I know, we're getting close to football season, and my Bengals, this is their year, who day, they've had a great offseason. I mean, let's be honest, if they were a Steeler fan, we'd have every reason why not to like them. But these are the two characters. We have the Pharisee and a tax collector. Most respected, most hated person in society. Two characters, but they're located at the same location, the same setting. It's the most sacred location in all of Israel, the temple. They're both there, and they're both praying to the exact same God. And what we're about to see, that it necessarily wasn't the prayer that was wrong, but their attitude in the prayer. Let's read on. Luke 18:11. It says, the Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed this: God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. Stealers, not like the football, but people that steal, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. In other words, the Pharisee saying things, while probably true, were not prayed with the correct posture or attitude of humility toward God. He wasn't humble in his presentation. It was as if the Pharisee was trying to trade all of his good deeds for God's grace. God, let me remind you of all the things that I'm doing and how good I am. And he was comparing himself to other people. He assumed a position of confidence as he prays. His reference to the tax collector shows a judgmental attitude. And in his comparison, he makes an instant evaluation of where he is and where the tax collector is. And his prayer really reveals the attitude and his posture towards God. In essence, he's saying, God, thank you that I'm such a great guy. I am so good. Let me tell you how good I am, God. And he goes on and lists all these things. This is where we can really pause and we can ask ourselves these questions of, well, what's my attitude? What's my posture towards God? Do you find yourself being judgmental towards other people's, your attitude that you compare yourselves to other people and you go, man, I'm better than they are? What's your attitude and your posture as you scroll down your social media page and in your feed, and you're seeing somebody who posts or comments something that you just don't agree with? What's your attitude? What's your posture towards a political candidate? Who do you compare yourself to? Who is it that you find yourself thinking or maybe even saying things like this? I would never, and then you fill in the blank. Or you say, I handle those situations so much better. Or we should on people. You know what that is? It's like, well, they should, and then you tell people or you're gossiping about somebody about something somebody else should have done. Or then we say things like, why don't they just, and we fill in the blank. We're comparing, we're judging. Our opinions reflect what we truly believe, what we truly think about God. And here's the challenge. We often judge people on their actions, but we judge ourselves by our intentions. I'm sure you've heard this before, but I'm going to repeat it. We often judge people by what they do, their actions, but we judge ourselves based on our intentions, what we meant in our actions. I know what I did, but here's what I meant. What do you think that says about our posture and our attitude towards God? What would it look like if we reversed that idea, that principle? And we saw people based on their intentions, you know, believing the best, what we think they really meant out of that action. And then we truly judged ourselves by not what we intended, but what we actually did. I think that'd be a radical transformation. Now listen to the justification the Pharisee gives. I like to say when we start to justify things, we already know what we're doing probably isn't right if we have to justify it. Listen to Luke 18:12. It says, I fast twice a week. This is the Pharisee talking. I give tithes of all that I get. In other words, look how good I am. I mean, I go above and beyond. You know, you're only supposed to fast once a week at that time in culture, but I do it twice. I tithe not just on my income, but on anything that comes in my hands. I go above and beyond what's required of the tithe. God, look how good. You should be impressed, God. I'm really good. I'm so good. And then you have this despised, this hated tax collector. He's standing far off. Listen to how Scripture captures it. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes to heaven, but he beat his chest, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, here's the thing about tax collectors. They weren't really known for their honesty. As a matter of fact, they made all their money from lying. They would knock on your door, and the more money they received above and beyond what the taxes is that you owed, the more money they got to put in their own pocket. No wonder they were hated. No wonder people didn't like them. No wonder they didn't trust them. So the Pharisee compared himself very favorably when he compares himself to the tax collector, reminding God, hey, I've never cheated anybody out of any money. I haven't sinned or committed adultery. Almost trying to convince God with all of his good deeds. The Pharisee is a complete contrast to the tax collector. The Pharisee was confident of himself, of his own righteousness, while at the same time despising this tax collector, even though they're at the same temple praying to the same God. See, the Pharisee didn't welcome the tax collector who was seeking God himself. Instead, he gloated about how much more righteous, how much better he was than he. See, the problem is no man can call attention to himself and glorify God at the same time. Nobody can. You can't say, look at me and glorify God. Look how good I am and glorify God. You can't do it. Those two things can't coexist. The tax collector was said to be standing far off, which likely meant the Pharisee was near the center of the temple, and then the tax collector would be on the outskirts of the outer edges of the temple. Not only that, the tax collector does something completely different than the Pharisee. He doesn't even lift up his eyes. He doesn't feel worthy to lift his eyes to heaven. He beat his chest, which was a sign of remorse. And unlike the Pharisee, the tax collector had no self-confidence, no self-focus of himself. The Pharisee's prayer was an announcement of how good he was, while the tax collector's prayer was a plea for mercy. See, our prayers and our posture towards God isn't about our accomplishments. It isn't about how good we are. It's about God's accomplishments and how good he is and all the things he's done in you and maybe even through you. The tax collector came to the temple and seems to have had this idea, this knowledge to the extent of his sin and brokenness that the Pharisee didn't have. He felt so low that he couldn't even lift his eyes to heaven. He couldn't look up. He recognized that his sin was too much. He came to the one place where he could find forgiveness, the temple. He came to God humbly, recognizing that he didn't even deserve God's mercy. And then Jesus brings home the point in the following verse in this parable. Jesus says, I tell you, this man, talking about the tax collector, went down to his house justified rather than the other, the Pharisee. For everyone who exalts himself, look at me, God, will be humbled. But the one who humbles themselves, woe is me, will be exalted. This is a surprising twist. It's a surprising ending to the listener. Anybody that would have heard this, that would not be what they expected. They would have expected the Pharisee to be exalted. But surprisingly enough, it's only the tax collector that went home justified before God. Justified here means God's act of declaring people not guilty of sin. Only the tax collector recognized and expressed his sin. Therefore, he was the only one that God justified. The Pharisee's prayer hadn't even touched heaven. It was merely a congratulations speech of himself. Look at me and how good I am. All the good things, all the good deeds I'm doing. But having thrown himself at God's mercy, the tax collector went home justified. The principle is that No one has anything of value to bring to God. Nothing. We could bring nothing of value to God in order to deserve or earn salvation. We can't earn or there's nothing we can do to deserve his mercy or his justification. It's only those who humble themselves before God. Only those will be exalted. Acceptance from God cannot be achieved by our actions. It certainly can't be achieved by our comparisons and saying, look at how good I am compared to that person. No amount of good deeds, no amount of self-proclamation, no amount of anything will provide acceptance from God except humility. God's grace cannot be found without it. You have to humble yourselves. Humility is essential to receiving mercy. And humility isn't thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. Again, you've probably heard that before, but it's important to repeat. Humility isn't thinking less of yourself, like, oh, I'm just not good enough. It's thinking of yourself less. It's thinking of others first and God first, beyond other people. God honors humility. Humility is exalted in this parable, in this story. So the first step to humility is repentance. We see it in the tax collector. So let us approach God with that posture, the posture of a tax collector, throwing ourselves at the mercy of God. God, I need you. Confessing our sins to God. Coming before God with remorse and repentance. And then we accept God's gift. We don't demand it. We don't earn it. We simply accept it. The forgiveness that Jesus offers is a gift that we accept. That's humility. The humble do not engage in comparisons. The humble are aware that standing before God is only possible because of God's mercy and his grace. We know that we are nothing before God when we are humble before God. See, Jesus desires that disciples, those of us that have said yes to Jesus, those of us that are followers of his, be like a tax collector, which would have totally gone against everything everybody would have thought when they heard this story. Wait a minute, I'm not supposed to strive to be good like a Pharisee. I need to strive to be like this tax collector in the sense of your humility, recognizing your brokenness and the gap there is between you and God. And where the Pharisee is in us, let's repent. Where the Pharisee is in us, let's ask God to forgive us. Because at the end of the day, there's nothing we can do to deserve God's love. We can't earn it. We don't even deserve it. And still God gives himself away to you and to me. So let's come to God in our brokenness, in this time. God, if you have anxiety, if you have fear, if you find yourself judging others on social media because of things they're saying or doing, whatever those things are, wherever the Pharisee is in you, come to him and humble yourself, throw yourself down, beat your chest and say, God, I need you. Have mercy on me, a sinner. And watch as God's grace and mercy just washes over you. Accept his gift of forgiveness and his love. I want to offer us a few next steps this morning. I'm going to challenge each and every one of you watching to make a comment what your next step is. So the first next step is this: accept Christ for the first time. Maybe today's the day you come humbly before God and say, I'm a sinner. I think I'm a good person. I think I'm better than they are. I've tried to live this life on my own terms, on my own rules, on my own values, and it's just not getting me anywhere. I'm full of fear. I'm full of anxiety. Maybe you just say, God, I need you. Have mercy on me and accept his forgiveness. And he'll provide the Holy Spirit. The second is repent and humble yourself. This is the Pharisee in us. And here's the real hard truth. We all have a little Pharisee in us. So let's just be honest about it. Let's repent of it. Let's ask God to have mercy on us. That he would come, and even in those moments of Pharisee, that he convict us. God doesn't shame. He will use the shame. The enemy will shame you. God convicts us to remind us how much we need him, to remind us that he's here with his mercy and his love and his grace, and he will provide guidance. But we have to repent. We have to humble ourselves. And the third is receive prayer. I'm going to challenge you this morning. If you have a prayer request, make it public. Put it in the comments section. Right now, what's your prayer request? What do you want from God? What do you need from God? What are you praying about? And those of you that are watching, stealing this idea from, I think it was Charlie Hines, but if you see that prayer request, hit the love underneath their comment to let them know you're praying for them, and pray for them right now. If you have a private prayer request you want to provide to us or you want to send us, simply email us at prayer@blueashcc.com. And the fourth one is our memory verse. This is a challenge to everybody. This is an easy one, real short. Luke 18:13 says, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And he will. He will send you home justified. It's a promise. It says it in Scripture. Spend some time. Take that to heart. Memorize that verse. Before we kind of end with our last song, this is the point of the morning where we'd be talking about that Connect card, which is, again, why we're talking about the comment section. Please engage so that we can follow up with you. We can pray for you. We can support you. If you have a need, please let us know. You can share it on that comment. You can go to our website, scroll down about halfway down the page and click that link. Also want to challenge you to continue to be obedient in your tithes and your offerings. This is an act of worship as well. So please, if you want to give, you can give now online. You can go to our website. I believe there's going to be a comment section on these three ways, and I believe it's on the screen behind me. You can text us at 84321, the amount at 84321, or you go to the Church Center app, and you can give that way. I appreciate you guys tuning in this morning, and as Craig gets ready to close us, one thing I failed to mention at the top is starting today, we're going to be sending out a daily reminder of God's promises. This whole series has been about yes and amen. And so we want to encourage you. We want to inspire you with God's promises. So we'll do some of that will be in a written form. Some of that's going to be in a video form. So be on the lookout. It'll be really short, either a short little video or in the written word. It'll be really, really short as well. But engage in God's promises. And then end all of those with the posture of yes and amen. Let me pray. God, thank you so much for today. God, where there's the Pharisee in me, God, where there's pride, where I think I'm just really good compared to, God, would you convict me that I'm a sinner and I need your mercy? God, for those of us listening this morning, just come by the power of your Holy Spirit. In your loving, gracious, tender way, convict us. Remind us that there's nothing we can do to earn it. There's nothing we can do to deserve it. And yet you still give yourself away. And God, help us accept. Help us accept you for all that you are and all that you offer.